So we're going to dedicate today's shiur for Refuah Shleima for Geula Liba Yehudis Bas Gittel Tzipra. And we're going to continue our study of Sefer Shmuel Beis. We are at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17, up to Pasuk Aleph. That what had happened was is that the rebellion with Avshalom is continuing. Avshalom's rebellion against his father David. And he had reached a point of stability in the city of Yerushalayim, meaning David, as we've seen, is not in Yerushalayim anymore. And Avshalom needs to basically shift into phase two. And he turns to his lead advisor, who had been a lead advisor for David, Achitophel. And he asks Achitophel for advice in one instance in terms of what to do immediately. And Achitophel offers the advice of the fact that he should be intimate with David's concubines. And he listens. And that kind of seals the fate of the fact that this is a full-on rebellion. And, you know, there's no turning back. There's no turning back from there. So we pick up with Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, because the fact that David is still around with a group of people and perhaps building, for all Avshalom knows, David could try to come back and fight for his position as king. In terms of David, right now, what we've seen from David is that we're not quite sure what David's long-term plan is. The Tanakh doesn't give it to us. It informs us of the fact that David wants to be cautious and David wants to kind of take the brunt of the insults coming his way. But he does place spies within Yerushalayim. He does kind of, in a very passive approach, want to at least know what's going on. So Achitophel is about to give Avshalom advice. Avshalom has to deal with David. And there's great debate amongst the Mefarshim. Did Avshalom want to kill David? Or did Avshalom not want to kill David? And we're going to keep mentioning that possibility as we go. So we're picking up Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Achitophel el Avshalom. Achitophel, the advisor, says to Avshalom, Evchara na Shneimasar Elefish. I would like to choose. Evrecha na, allow me to choose, please. Shneimasar Elefish, 12,000 men. The Akuma, and I will arise, I will get up. The Erdefa, and I will lead a chase. Achari David, after David. Halayla, tonight. So Achitophel's advice is multi-layered. In no order, he wants it to be immediate. He wants it to be halayla. He wants it to be to get David immediately without giving David time to rest, without giving David time to get stronger, without giving David time to get more of an army together. He does not want Avshalom to be involved in the attack. Right, he keeps talking about Evrecha with an Aleph. I will do this. I will choose the men, the Akuma. I will get up, the Eredefa, and I will chase. Meaning Achitophel, who we definitely have no previous knowledge of his military prowess and experience, says that he will lead the charge. And the Mefarshim understand that it means not Avshalom. It means Avshalom is going to, according to Achitophel's plan, Avshalom is going to stay back in Yerushalayim for a number of reasons. Perhaps to ensure that Avshalom stays alive, because who knows what happens in the heat of battle. Another idea that the Abarbanel feels strongly about is that while Avshalom did not want to kill David, Achitophel did. Achitophel, perhaps for personal reasons, as we discussed, he seemingly has something personally against David, perhaps because of the episode of Bathsheba, who's his relative. Or just from a practical standpoint, in order for this rebellion to work well, and if you look through Sefer Melachim, while it's not pleasant when rebellions happen, usually for a rebellion to be successful, you assassinate the previous king. You don't keep him as, you know, king emeritus status. And Achitophel felt that if Avshalom's there, Avshalom will never let that happen. That the compassion that he feels towards his father, right, parentheses, big time, that he's leading a rebellion against his father and willing to chase his father out of the capital city, but murder That's for the really, really rebellious sons. He's not that rebellious. But if he's in Yerushalayim, then Achitofel can go ahead and bring that to be. Shneimasar elef ish, so 12,000. So whenever you hear the number 12, you're immediately thinking the 12 tribes. And the difference of opinion, it may be that he was saying we should have 1,000 people from each tribe, because if you have 1,000 people from each tribe, that will show that this rebellion is a united rebellion against David. It's not just Avshalom and his followers, and maybe we saw Shimi ben Gera, who's from the tribe of Binyamin. It makes sense that Binyamin is anti-David because of what he did, appears that he did take over after Shaul, and it appears that he maybe played a role in Shaul's downfall, even though we know that that's not true. The only problem with saying that you have 1,000 from each tribe is that it does go against a little bit this idea of halayla, of immediacy. I mean, if you're going to make sure, you're going to have to make sure you have 12 from every single... So the chances are that gathered there in Yerushalayim, there were not already 1,000 people from each tribe. And so chances are it choosing a force of 12,000 is to represent the idea of all of Klal Yisrael. So even if, they didn't exactly have 1,000 members from the tribe of Dan. Dan is known to be the tribe that was in the extreme north, right? That's why we'll even have a phrase, I think it's in this perek. Whenever you talk about the extreme borders of Eretz Yisrael, you say Midan v'ad Beersheva. Obviously, today it goes much more south. Midan v'ad Beersheva, Dan is the extreme north. So to make sure you've got 1,000, you would lose that sense of immediacy. But it represents the number 12. Now, 12,000 is a small force. It's a small, relatively small force, especially when we think about other armies that were gathered. So first of all, it seems Achitofel does not believe that at this moment you need more. And if we think about who David has with him, so we heard about 600 men, and we hear that he has his whole family. But not that I know much about military operations, but it actually sounds like 12,000 would be enough. And what 12,000 allows for is, apparently he says, Ev chara na shneimasar elef, it must mean that there were more to choose from, and that 12,000 is something manageable that he'll be able to get right away. He'll be able to go with this immediacy. And that seems to be his main focus. So that he's willing to sacrifice the fact that it won't be such a large force to have the element of immediacy, the element of surprise. It's going to be halayla. It's going to be at night. Most military battles take place, they may extend into the night. We've seen that. But they start by day. That's when it makes sense to attack. But if you're going for a surprise attack, then halayla is an excellent point.
And finding so many Avshalom loyalists is not like...
Apparently this is not so many. I mean, this is available in Yerushalayim right now.
Right.
That's how successful this rebellion
at
least began with. Mm-hmm. And we have these questions. How is it possible? Right. Well, we had these phrases that he stole. Right. He stole the heart of the Jewish people.
David wasn't so bad. I mean, he was a good leader. Like, he had some issues.
So it,
but
could,
it wasn't
so,
that he was
so
such
you,
a bad
you really
thing,
you play two cards. You play one card is that perhaps the masses of people at this moment in time just felt that David was no longer fit to lead. But because of the episode of Bathsheba, and because of that, he was an excellent leader, and it's time to transition. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone was thinking Achitofel's thoughts according to the Barbanel of killing him. They just thought it's time for something new. And sometimes you think it's time for something new, but to go ahead and actually put in the effort to have something new, you're not willing to do that. But however, here you have Avshalom who's volunteered that, and it's now you have something new and fresh in front of you that you could choose, and it's a son of David. It'll be the first time that there'll be a successful type of succession of power within a family. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not happening in the way that everyone dreamed it to be. But you have that approach, and the other approach is that this is all divine, that this is... The reason why the people are buying into Avshalom's propaganda is because Hashem needs to punish David, and this is part of that.
But still, nobody here ever looks at the Nevuah, that Shlomo's going to take over for David.
So we have this question, who knows that?
Right.
How many people actually know that?
Achitofel maybe knows it and is ignoring it, or do you think he doesn't know it? I don't...
You know, when you take the approach that Achitofel was the grandfather of Batsheva,
right,
which makes him the great grandfather
of Shlomo, right,
so it makes it a little hard to focus on that, because why would he want Avshalom to become king
and not his own
right? That's going to put on a bit. So we had one theory that was Avshalom. No one would really, if Avshalom ended up killing his father, people would discount Avshalom. It would leave a vacuum of power. And until Shlomo is ready, which we know Shlomo becomes king at a young age, he's even younger at this point.
Right.
It's at least 3 years before he becomes king. Achitofel could be king. And then Achitofel could have some form of power. So he wants it to be Halayla. And he gives his rationale in Pasuk Beis. He says, "Va'avo alav, I will come upon him," meaning David. "V'hu yageya urefei adayim." Right now, David is in a state of yageya. He's exhausted. Urefei adayim, weak of hand. The word urefei with a hey, rafa, means to be weak. He's weak of hand. This is the moment. They're down, right? Because we have achit. No one knows 100% what's going on in the camp of David. There is no spy in the camp of, as far as we know, giving information back. Achitofel is presuming they're on the run. We're sitting here pretty in Yerushalayim, enjoying, resting. They're on the run, therefore, they're going to be more tired. So if I take advantage of that, v'charadati oso, I will frighten him. V'nos kol ha'am asher ito, the people who are with him will start to run away. V'kesi es ha'melech levado, and I will strike against the king by himself. Now, so there are, right, the Abar Benel and others say that this is where Achitofel actually set it out, that he's going to kill the king. Most of the time, v'kesi means to strike. It could be understood, and that's the way I think is the simple way to understand the pasuk. You could understand that strike just means to capture, and just means to take hold. The idea being is that if there's a surprise attack at night, the small force that David has will go on the run. David will be left relatively defenseless, and therefore will be able to neutralize, whether you want to go with the approach of kill or just the approach of capture, and thereby, you know, you would really, the rebellion would basically be complete. You'd bring David back. If you kill him, it's clearly complete. If you just capture him, you bring him back, he becomes a prisoner of war. You know, maybe you convince him to become king emeritus. He signs a treaty and, you know, he's under house arrest for the rest of his life. Something, you know, that's a little bit of a modern spin. But something along those lines. The Pasuk Gimel. V'ashiva chol ha'am elecha, and I will return all of the people to you, kishuv hakol, when everything is returned, ha'ish asher atam vakesh, the man who you are searching after, kol ha'am yeshalom, all the people will be at peace. So the understanding of this pasuk is that, and this is the way the Abar Benel understands it, is that Achitofel's idea was that all of David's people should not be killed. They should be captured alive. And they should be returned to Avshalom. And with David out of the picture, and again, in the Abar Benel's eyes, it means David has been killed. You now have all of his people, all of his close confidants, and you're basically saying, you know, look at the facts on the ground. Avshalom has led a successful rebellion. David is dead. Where do you want to keep your allegiance to a dead king, and what, have no future, or do you want to take hold of Avshalom and recognize him as king? Right. We read the pasuk again. Right. V'yashiva chol ha'am elecha. I'm going to return everyone to you. What, you know what it would do for you to begin your kingdom with all of David's followers now on your side, that would boost your approval rating, right? Keshuv HaKol, when everything's returned, Ha'ish Asher Hashem Mevakesh, the man who you are searching after, meaning David will be taken care. It's a little bit of a strange phrase, Ha'ish Asher Atam Mevakesh. But most understand it means that the man you are searching after will be taken care of, meaning David would have been killed. Kola'am yesh shalom, all of the people, all of the other people on David's side will be at peace, and then it'll send messages of peace for the entire land. So this is Achitofel's plan. Pasuk Dalet. Vayishar ha-davar b'nei Avshalom. Avshalom likes the plan. Vayishar, he approves. It's proper. It's straight in the eyes of Avshalom. Uve'enei kol ziknei Yisrael, in the eyes of all the sages of Israel. So Rashi immediately jumps on that phrase, kol ziknei Yisrael. Usually when we talk about the Zakenim, we're talking about, you know, very prominent individuals within the Jewish people. Rashi says, ziknei ashma'i. They were guilty sages. These are not proper sages if they were embracing Avshalom like this. But he surrounded himself with pseudo sages, with older people who would be on his side, and everyone's in agreement. This seems to be like a great plan. Because in truth, everything that he describes makes a lot of good sense, and we, the reader. We actually know how bad David's position is. We know that David was described as walking out of the city barefoot. So you can imagine he's not prepared. He's not prepared for battle. We know that he has just been going through all the insults and the rock throwing of Shimi ben Gera. This doesn't sound like a king who's ready for a surprise attack and is going to be able to play defense and defend him and his group properly. So it appears that Achitofel is spot on in terms of his plan, and Avshalom is in agreement. Almost at it, for us, the reader, it seems totally out of left field. Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Avshalom. Avshalom said, Kira na, call now, gam l'chushai ha'arki. Call Chushai. Chushai the Arki, who we know, is David's close friend, and has convinced Avshalom that he's now on his side. He says, call him. V'nishma'a, allow us to hear, ma bepiv gamhu. What does he have to say? It makes no sense.
That could be Avshalom's, because Achitofel, he knows, wants to kill.
One of the rational approaches to say, especially after you think in our minds that the description that we have from Tanakh, which is the last pasuk, still last pasuk from last parak, in parak Tes Zayin, pasuk of Gimel, we had heard this description of Achitofel's advice. That the advice that Achitofel gave was as if it was divine. It was such good advice, solid advice. You know, whatever he predicted would come true. It was like you asked God. So why is it that all of a sudden Avshalom is wavering? And not only that, he's calling the new guy. Not necessarily. It's hard for us to know who's older, Achitofel, Hushai. There are different opinions. I haven't really found clarity on it, and I don't think it's important necessarily. But Hushai is new to the camp. He's newer, even though Achitofel's not the timeline of this rebellion hasn't gone on so long. But newer to the scene of the rebellion is Hushai. Why would he be called? And if anything, he's the one who you would be suspect about, that maybe he's convinced you that he's still on the side of David, that he's on your side. You never know for sure. You don't know for sure, right? If you think, right, the same way that Yoav wasn't so sure about Avner,
right.
You could imagine it's possible that Avshalom wouldn't. So why is he calling him? So if you go with the approach of the Abarbanel that Achitofel was saying, I want to kill David,
right.
And Avshalom never thought to do that, that could be that's the one thing wrong. The one thing wrong with Achitophel's plan is that it calls for the assassination of David. So exactly. Let me call someone who used to be David's man, who says I'm still going to show my allegiance to David by being in your camp. Meaning he was saying, basically, it sounds like the way that Hushai sells himself to Avshalom is that your father's no longer fit to lead. I will continue my allegiance to him by being in your camp. So therefore, Avshalom is saying, wait a second, we have on the table now a plan that involves assassinating my father. Is that a good idea? Who else should I ask? Meaning, if it's a good idea, if it's such a good idea for the rebellion, then Hushai will agree. And if not, well, maybe my own, Avshalom is saying, maybe my own reservations about killing my father, I should go with that. So that's perhaps...
But it can also be a test of... I mean, Avshalom doesn't know that David has spies in the camp, but he has to wonder, maybe...
So you have to wait and see. Right. So you'll have... I think your question will be answered by itself by seeing what Hushai's answer is, and then what Avshalom's response is to Hushai's answer.
But the truth is, a lot of good leaders do that. Like a lot of good leaders want to be surrounded by people with differing opinions.
Right. The only thing
a bad leader wants everyone to always agree with each other.
Right.
A good leader wants advice from all different backgrounds.
So what's strange is that now the Pasuk Aleph, it sounds like Achitophel volunteered the advice about this military operation. If Avshalom was searching advice, you would expect him to not begin with Achitophel, but begin with the lower members of his cabinet, because it takes great chutzpah, which Hushai has, because he's fighting the good in his mind. He's fighting the good fight. He's going to go up against Achitophel. The other approach, in addition to this rational explanation, is that over the course of this perek, we're going to see a shift that whatever decree that was negative against David coming from Hashem, it's shifting. Meaning David, we're going to reach the point where David has, quote, it's hard for us to say, he's had enough punishment. And the punishment is over. And we all know, because we know the end of the story. The punishment was not that David stops being king forever and Avshalom takes over, because we know that doesn't happen. Right. I'm not ruining the story. So the punishment was to have to leave Yerushalayim, to be on the run, to have a son do this to you.
Merit from his household.
And to have the concubines taken advantage of and all of that. But then this Yesh Gvul, there's a boundary and there's a stopping point. And so the fact that there's a suffix in the mind of Avshalom, while we have to balance, we do believe that everyone has free choice, but we also believe that Hashem guides things. So it's some type of balance. So here he comes, Pasuk Vav, Vayavo Hushai al Avshalom. So Hushai comes to Avshalom. Vayomer Avshalom Elav, and Avshalom says to him, Leimor, saying as follows, Kadavar Hasher, Kadavar Hazeh Diber Achitophel. Like this, Achitophel has spoken. Hana'aseh devaro, should we do his word? Im ayin, and if not, ata daber, you should speak why we should not, or you should speak what other plan should we do. Now, it almost appears that Hushai was not present when Achitophel gave his advice.
Right.
Which may go along with what we've been thinking, that maybe to some degree Avshalom kept Hushai on the outs just a little bit. That he shouldn't be, right, just because he announced that I'm in your camp, doesn't mean you get to be in the inner circle of the new king. So Achitophel gave his advice. Avshalom and the Ziknei Yisrael who were around there gave their approval. But now he calls outside counsel. He's calling Hushai to come from the outside. And therefore, Kadavar Hazeh Diber Achitophel, he's now actually telling over the advice. He's giving his version of the plan of Achitofel over to Hushai, saying Hanaseh Tevaro, should we follow him? Im ayin, and if not, Atadaber, you should speak. Just interestingly, this phrase im ayin, it's not a common phrase in Tanakh. I don't really have an explanation, but this phrase of im ayin or im ayin, it's only seven times in the whole Tanakh. It's just a little bit. The Metzilas Tzion goes out of his way to say im ayin means im lav, if not, just because it's a strange formulation of word. So he's giving him his opening. Now Hushai has one main objective. The main objective is to get rid of the sense of immediacy and urgency, because there's basically no time for David to counteract. And David, the whole thing could be done. The fact that he's come up with this nice secret plan of having people, it'll be over before David will never stand a chance. And so he has to kind of burst that bubble. Now the way to do it, you have to be sensitive. You have to be sensitive to who Avshalom is and who Achitofel is. So pay attention, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom, Hushai says to Avshalom, Lo tova haitza asher yatz Achitofel bapam hazos. It's not good, the advice that Achitofel is offering bapam hazos at this time. Meaning, all the other advice that he's ever given, and perhaps will give in the future, that very well could be good. But right now, this specific thing, and in the back, if we're going with the approach of the Abarbanel, this specific plan within, which involves the killing of the king, this time it's not good advice. So that's playing to the sensitivity that Achitofel, that Avshalom clearly values Achitofel. So if you just come in there and say that the wisest, brightest person who's always given the best advice is he's full of nonsense, so then you're not going to be taken seriously. Because if you don't value my, right, Avshalom is saying, my opinion is that Achitofel's my advisor. By starting this way, Hushai is saying, I value your choice of advisor. I value Achitofel. This time he's gotten it not right. He also doesn't say that it's a horrible plan. He says lo tova. It's not good. You know, we could debate what that means, but he doesn't say that it's ra. He doesn't say that it's negative. He just says that it's not good. Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Hushai, and Hushai says, Ata yadata es avicha v'es anoshov. You know. He's playing to Avshalom's ego. You know your father, v'es anoshov, and his men. Ki giborim hema. They're mighty. They're strong. Umari nefesh hema. And right now, they are quite embittered. Right? So when you're embittered, it depends who you are. If you're weak and you're embittered, well, then you make a very good victim. Mm-hmm. But if you're a gibor and you're bitter, you make for a fierce fight. And he draws an analogy. Kedov shakul basadeh. Like a bereaved bear in the field. A bear who just had their cub killed in the field, that bear is going to be quite fierce in its attacking of the one that killed its child. It's not going to be embittered, right? Again, at least I don't know anything about bears, so I don't want to say that I do. It appears that he's going for a picture that a bereaving bear is not sitting there, you know, like on the psychologist's couch being depressed. A bereaving bear is going to attack with full force. That's who your father is. V'avicha ish melchama. Your father's a man of war. V'lo yalin es ha'am. He won't sleep among the people. So the simple way to understand that phrase is that you're coming, you know, Achitofel's plan has a surprise attack at night because, you know, they'll be asleep or they'll be encamped. David's a wise man of war. He's not going to sleep where the people are. He's going to sleep somewhere else. Another approach to say is he won't sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on alert. Either him or someone else is going to be on high alert all night long. The fact that he's called David a gibor and an ish milchama. So these things are true. What perhaps Hushai is playing off of, even though he never says it exactly, and you might have expected that he could have drawn the example, is that this is not the first time that David's on the run for his life from someone who is either king or pretending to be king. David has experience being on the run with a big number of people. And last time that happened, guess what? David won. So you have to know your enemy. So David has certain strengths, right? So Achitofel was saying, oh, they must be all tired out, which we know is probably true. What Hushai is doing is saying, well, you don't know that for sure, and by provoking them when they're being insulted, they may come back with more force than we can handle. Pasuk Tes, where he says, right, this is picking up off V'lo Yalina Ta'am, that he's not sleeping where the people are. Hine atahu nechba ba'achas hapsachim. Behold, now he must be hidden among one of the openings, a cave, a hole, o ba'achar ha'mekomos, in one of the places. I mean, David knows how to hide. So what's going to happen? So we're, right, let's go, right, play, he's saying, let's play Achitofel's plan. We take the 12,000 men and we go to attack. But David's nowhere to be found. V'haya, and it will be, kinfol bahem batchila, when among them, presumably it means among the soldiers, the first ones fall in battle, because there's going to be a battle. V'shama ha-shomea v'amar, Haisa Magefa Ba'am Asher Acharei Avshalom. The rumor that'll float around is that the strike came against the people who are following Avshalom. Meaning either the first soldiers who die will actually be from the side of Avshalom, or at least it's going to be at night, there's going to be confusion, and that might get out there. And so the first military battle, because until now, it's been a very peaceful rebellion. Avshalom has announced himself as king. He has supporters. Doesn't, from our knowledge, it doesn't seem that anyone is trying to protest his being king. And there's no fighting. It's a very peaceful rebellion. What Hushai is saying is, it's a crucially, you're now going to have a new army. In order for you to have a new army be successful, there shouldn't be anything that goes wrong with your first battle. Your first battle is going to set the tone. You want to get a victory. Maybe it's a small victory. You want to get that first. And here you have this new army following your side. They're going to the fact that they experience a little bit of loss that may put them on edge. Pasuk Yud, v'hu gam ben chayil. Even if among your 12,000 there are men of valor, really strong soldiers. Asher libo kalev haryeh, who in the past his heart was like the heart of a lion, he meisiyit yimais, his heart will melt. Ki yodea kol Yisrael ki gibor avicha, because everyone knows that your father is a gibor, is a strong one, uvnechayel asher ito, and that he has soldiers with him. And so this is a terrible plan. It's a terrible plan because if what I say is true, and David is properly on the defensive, will start losing in battle. That'll lose the resolve of the 12,000 men, and this is going to be a failure. And who knows what happens next? I mean, maybe David overtakes the group, and David, who knows? So that's why Kilo Tova, right? That's why this plan of Achitofel's is not good. But you can't just come in and be a naysayer. You can't just come in and say something negative about the previous advice. You have to offer a better plan. So again, the number one goal is to buy David time. So 12,000 men, that seems, Achitofel is very confident that that could happen halayla. Pasuk Yud Aleph is Hushai's plan to Avshalom. Ki yatzti, my advice. Hey, asof yaseif alecha kol Yisrael. Gather, surely gather for yourself, all of Israel, representation of all of Israel, midan v'ad Beersheva, from the north in Dan to the south, which is Beersheva, kachol asher al hayam larof, like the sand on the seashore. Right, that many, as numerous as that. So this is the biggest point. By amassing a large army, it's going to take time. And it's going to give David more time to properly prepare, to properly escape. And he throws in, Ufanecha holchem bakrav. Ufanecha holchem bakrav, meaning that your face should go in the midst. You should be leading the battle. Right? You want to show your men that you believe in this rebellion. The best way for you to show that you believe in this rebellion is for you to lead the rebellion, right? When right, the Midrashim talk about how Paro riled his troops to chase after Klal Yisrael by he himself going into the battle. That when the leader, you want to get buy-in from your soldiers, the best way to ask someone to put their life on the line is to join them in putting your life on the line. However, in the back of our minds, By Hushai telling Avshalom or advising Avshalom that you should be present in battle, he's basically saying that the fate of your father will be up to you. What you do with David upon success and capture will be up to you. If you choose to kill him, it'll be your choice. If you choose to save him and capture him, it'll be your choice. It won't be a decision that Achitofel is making. It'll be a choice that you're making. Right, so he says, you'll amass a very, very large force, Pasuk Yud Beis, Uvanu Elav, and then we will come to him. Meaning we'll find David. Ba'achar ha-makomos asher nimtza sham, in one of the places where he's found. V'nachnu olav, and we will encamp against him, go down or descend upon him. Kasher yipol hatal al adama. Just like the dew falls on the ground. So far, we've seen a number of. Hushai seems to be quite poetic. He has that the mashal about the dov shakul. Then he talks about the lathe being a lathe of a lion, but then it melts. And now he's right. He says that the force will be kachol al hayam. It just happens to be that we don't know too much about Hushai before this episode. We don't know too much about Hushai after this episode. But he definitely and. As far as you know, Hushai is acting with no divine intervention. He's not acting with any form of nevuah or anything like that, or ruach hakodesh. But he seems to be quite just. I mean, I didn't see anyone point this out. Just time and again, he seems to be quite poetic. Now he says, "We'll fall upon him like the dew of the ground." So presumably that means, right? Whenever dew falls in the ground, when you come out in the morning and you see dew on the ground, there's basically not a blade of grass that's dry, meaning the dew doesn't fall here, but not here. It falls everywhere. So if we have this large force, and he's trying to convince Avshalom to make a large force, because that buys David time, well, we'll basically be everywhere. And if we're everywhere, we'll find him eventually. No matter where you're hiding, if you have troops everywhere in the vicinity, you're going to be successful. Another approach may be that when does the dew fall? The dew falls in the morning when it's light. And Achitofel's plan had been to go at night. And at night has certain risks. Risks in terms of your soldiers. Daytime is less risky. Now, you're not going to have the same element of surprise and you know, catching them by night. So they're going to be able to see by the daytime. But you'll also be able to see. So you'll have that balance. But by having such a large force, and we presume that 12,000 would have been enough to handle David. But now, if he has really this large force, so then the pasuk continues, velo nosar bo, there won't be anything left, uvechol ha'anashim asher ito, all of the men who are with him, gam echad, even one, meaning, it's not necessarily saying to be killed, although it may. But it means that we're going to be able to overpower them. They're going to be powerless. That because we'll have so much of the numbers against their group, it'll be like there's none of them left, in the sense that none of them will be able to be to make a difference in the fight. We'll totally overtake them. And there's no singling out of David. He talks about handling the group as a whole, meaning that he doesn't spell out killing, which means sounds like the goal of the mission here is going to be capture everyone, including David, including his men, and then you can keep them alive. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ve'im el ir yaseif. What happens if by the time we get there, David has run into a city? He's no longer hiding just in the wild. If he runs into a city, Ve'isiu chol Yisrael el ha'ir ha'hi chavalim. Then all of Israel, meaning all of this arm, all of this new army that you've formed, will come to the city Chavalim. They'll come as groups of soldiers. Chevel could mean like a band. Rashi actually quotes way back when, in Perek Yud of Shmuel Aleph. So Shmuel had told Shaul three signs that would happen to him, and that would convince Shaul that this idea of him becoming king was actually real. So the first was that he'd meet two people, then meet three people, and finally he'd meet a chevel nevi'im. He'd meet a group, a band, not a musical band, even though they were playing musical instruments, but a group of prophets. So chavalim means groups. We're going to attack this. We'll go to that city. V'sachavnu. Sachavnu, the Metzius Tzion defines as drag. The Sachavnu oso ald hanachal. We would drag the city to the river, meaning if it had a wall, we'll de-wall the city. Right? And just for conclusion's sake, we'll get another image. Adasher lo nimsasham gam tsror. So that there wouldn't even be a pebble left. Meaning we take down that wall to the extent that there wouldn't even be. Obviously, if you leave a pebble, you can break, the army can go through, but it's the expression that we'll totally dismantle the wall. And we'll be able to take down David. But he doesn't mention killing David, and he mentions having a larger force, and he's trying to play off, perhaps also telling Avshalom that you know your father. And maybe you know your father better than Achitofel knows your father. Right, because it's hard. We say that Achitofel had been an advisor of David, but we don't hear about the actual points where Achitofel was actually advising David. How much does Achitofel know about those early days in the times of Shaul? Now, Avshalom wasn't born yet, but he probably knows, and maybe Hushai is playing off the fact I've been a dear friend of your father. Maybe even going back to those. I know those times. And I'm telling you, your father shouldn't be underestimated when he's on the run. So here Avshalom has the two plans in front of him. He has the plan of Achitofel, and now he has the plan of Hushai. Pasuk Yedalad. Vayomer Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael. Avshalom says, and all of the men of Israel, who that is unclear. Tova atzas Hushai ha'arki me'atzas Achitofel. Better is the advice of Hushai than the advice of Achitofel. Who are these Chol Ish Yisrael? It sounds like it's different than the first group. The first group was Kol Ziknei Yisrael, the elders, and now it's Kol Ish Yisrael. It may be the same group. It may be a different group. Who aren't Zakenim? They're younger. But Avshalom makes the decision first, and Avshalom thinks that. And maybe that's what it is. Once Avshalom says it's a good idea, so then everyone has to, you're gonna just be a yes man. You're gonna say yes to the new leader. However, there's a break in the pasuk, and we're kind of told the divine direction. V'Hashem tziva lahafer es atzas achitofel hatova. Hashem commanded, he ordained, that there be a hafara, that there be a nullification of the advice of Achitofel hatova. Here's where the Navi says, you know what? From Hashem's perspective, Achitofel's plan was much better. Achitofel's plan was much better. And it's only because Hashem commanded, he ordained, that it be nullified. Why? L'va'avur hevi Hashem elav shalom es hara. For the sake of, in order to that Hashem would bring against Avshalom, Esara, the evil, meaning Avshalom does not deserve for his rebellion to be successful, and Hashem is playing the role of, you know, interceding to make sure that Avshalom is punished, to make sure that David is returned. And It's pretty clear that what the Tanakh is presenting, the divine nature of this rebellion, that it was up until this point of Achitofel offering the advice, up until that point, David is being punished, but now Hashem is stepping in and almost saying that Adkan, the punishment is enough, and therefore, while it doesn't even if you want to say that Achitofel presented a plan that makes sense, and Hushai presented a plan that makes sense. So why, if I asked you to choose between two plans that make sense, you probably would choose the way Achitofel's advice has been taken in the past, everyone would agree with Achitofel. Why is it that it seems like it's a miracle that they're going with Hushai's plan? So you. Either you have the approach of the Abarbanel that Hushai's plan didn't involve killing David, and that sits much better with Avshalom. It's easier for him to sleep at night if he knows he just took his father's position, not that he took his father's life. Or, and maybe it's a combination, you have the divine plan. What's interesting, I didn't see anybody say this, but you basically have two advisors giving advice. And there are two groups with the advisor. There's Zikanim, they're the Ziknei Yisrael, and then there's the Ish Yisrael. And what's absent, right, for the fact that it doesn't say Zikanim, so if you had to pit these two groups together and you have to describe them, if one of them has the description of elder and one of them doesn't, you have to presume one is young and one is old. What's interesting is that this isn't the only time in Tanakh where you have a new king with two conflicting groups of advice. When in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, when Rechavam becomes king, Rechavam is the son of Shlomo, he becomes king. And it almost sounds like the first week he's king, the people have a request. Basically have a request to lower the national taxes, that Shlomo, towards the end of his life, had issued higher taxes, and they come to Rechavam and say, lower the taxes. And Rechavam, the new king, turns to his advisors, and he gets two groups of advice. The elders tell him, lower taxes. Basically, get the people on your side now, and when the people are on your side, you'll get them to do what you want, meaning you can always increase taxes a year from now, 2 years from now. While the young group of advisors say, no, you need to show your force, you need to show your power, you know, definitely don't lower the taxes. And Rechavim's mistake, again, it's understood that it's kind of guided by Hashem's decree, because Hashem had punished Shlomo that his kingdom would be split, we say, into two. Really, it was it was 5/6 and 1/6. We believe that it's divine, but Rechava makes the mistake of listening to the young advisors. He responds with force, and they basically secede from the nation in response to that. And Rechava is left with what he's left with. The Tanakh, obviously here, Hashem wants them to listen to the advice of the he wants them to listen to the advice of Hushai and the Ish Yisrael, which is the, you know, what we could pit as the younger. But it does go with the idea that Hashem and the Navi records the fact that from a divine perspective, he does believe that Achitofel is right. What the Zakenim, even if they're not Zakenim in terms of their level of religiosity, but they're Zakenim in terms of their age, that perhaps what the Tanakh is trying to say is that sage advice and elder advice really should be valued. That the new perspective isn't always the right perspective. And that there's, you know, there's weight, there's great weight to the old advice and the old approaches. It seems like a similarity I never thought about till today.
Does anyone ever realize that the younger crowd always gives the bad advice and things topple afterwards?
I'm not sure. So Bezeshem will continue Parakid Zion next time.